The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with trouble in Tinseltown. Headed to a one-game showdown for his season. LeBron limping again. Is it about to be over? We'll start there. Meanwhile, more quarterback moves in Green Bay. We'll explain exactly why they made this one. Spoiler alert, it's not good news. And the Bears make a big decision at QB. You'll hear what the coach said and what it means as we get up with you. Starting right now on a Monday. Hope you had a delightful weekend. Greeny here at the Seaport, and we are jam-packed. The NBA regular season has come to an end. We'll get into that in a second. And then we put together the regular assortment of football insight for you. Here they are, outstanding, and they are ready. Diana's gotten up early. Swagoo's got a whole lot to say today. And you know Dominique is going to make somebody aggravated. All that and a whole lot more as we get up with you, starting right now with the game of the night, the Lakers and the Pelicans, and LeBron and Anthony Davis both on the floor last night in the season finale. Pick it up second quarter. Lakers are up four, turning defense into offense. LeBron, the steal. He lays it up and good. He would score 25. Just over 2 minutes to go in the half. More defense leading to offense for the Lakers. LeBron, another steal. He throws it up. Anthony Davis lays it up and good. The Lakers had a four-point halftime lead. Third quarter, the lead is five. It's Anthony Davis using the screen. He would score 14 on the night. So the Lakers would cruise to the win. But here's the moment. Fourth quarter, Lakers up 11. Keep a close eye on LeBron as he goes up and then comes down. I'm going to show it to you closely. You know what's been a problem with the ankle. Appears to land here on the foot of Nickeil Alexander-Walker. He would get up. There would be a little ginger walking as he makes his way back to the bench. So the Lakers take it by a dozen. Here's LeBron after the game on the ankle.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was. It was a tweak, except on Alexander's foot on the way down after that last layup. But I'll be fine.
He'd better be, because he's got to deal with this guy next. Steph Curry with the performance of the night. Warriors, Grizzlies, third quarter. Warriors up by eight. And look at Steph. That's a good shot for him. He would knock down nine threes, and he was just heating up. He owned the third quarter. Curry, again, deep three. He had 17 points in the third as he put on a show for the final statement of his MVP campaign. Fourth quarter, Curry taking over. 3 minutes to go. Warriors up by three. Curry off the screen. He would outscore the rest of the Warriors' starting lineup last night by 3 points. A minute later, they're up by six. It's Curry. Again, they double him. They triple him. What are you going to do? He's going to find open space, and he's going to knock it down. Next possession, Curry again guarded closely. He would hit his third three in less than 2 minutes on his way to a 46-point exclamation point. Added 7 boards and 9 assists. Warriors clinch the 8th seed. They win it. LeBron, how about Steph?
We're playing versus, in my opinion, the MVP of our league this year, and Steph. So we got to be, prepared for everything that they have. They got championship DNA as well. You know, they know what it takes and what it feels like to be in pressure games. So we got to be ready for that opportunity and for that pressure.
So that's what we get. This is coming your way Wednesday. We've got the West games on ESPN. Grizzlies, Spurs, 7:30 Eastern, and then that's followed by what could be the best showdown of the entire postseason. LeBron versus Steph. One game to move on. Losers got to play for their season. Again, both those games come your way Wednesday night here on ESPN. Okay, so there is a lot to unpack here, and the perfect person to do the unpacking is Jay Will, the Jay from KJZ, ESPN Radio, Coast to Coast. Okay, let's go back for a moment here. LeBron and the ankle. How concerned should we be about that, looking into one or two games that could end their season by the end of this week?
I was a little bit concerned last night with Frank Vogel playing LeBron during the closing minutes of the game. He had a little slight tweak. But look, the reality is I trust LeBron James and Anthony Davis to be ready for when it matters, Greeny. This is the time of year that we talk about basketball meaning something. And these two guys are going to step up regardless of injury. There's this great line that they live by. No excuses. And that's what we will see from LeBron James and AD.
So they set up this one game against Steph Curry, and we just saw how brilliant he was yesterday and how brilliant his season has been. How would you – well, let's just look right at the game. What do you expect in that game, LeBron versus Steph, Lakers versus Warriors? One game in a play-in tournament.
It's going to be throw the kitchen sink at Steph Curry. You have to. You have to throw double teams at him. You have to give him different looks defensively. You have to make the other guys beat you. Now, to their credit, Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, these guys have been stepping up throughout this miraculous run for Golden State. But you throw everything at Stephen Curry, and also whoever he guards defensively, Greeny, you attack that matchup. You try to get him in foul trouble, you try to wear him down.
Yeah, it is a two-game scenario for the loser of this.
Yes.
So would you anticipate, clearly, I mean, with no disrespect whatsoever intended to Memphis or San Antonio, the league and most fans would like to see both of these guys survive this week. Do you expect both of them to make it into the regular draw?
I do. I have the Lakers beating Golden State in the first round for the seventh seed, and then I have Golden State beating Memphis probably for the eighth seed. But I will tell you, Ja Morant on his Grizzly, I mean, that will be a fight for them because they like to defend, and Dylan Brooks will give him different looks defensively. He tried last game, but you saw how good Steph was.
All right, and so as for Steph, you hear LeBron say, that's the MVP of the league. What do you say?
It's an admission of guilt for me because I had Nikola Jokic as the MVP. Obviously, you know, playing 70-plus games this year has been incredible, but at the end of the day, I got to give it to Stephen Curry. I have to give it to him. The fact that this team has a chance to be in the playoffs at a 7 or 8 seed, Greeny, it blows my mind. And guys from the G League have played on the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green, he's had a really good year. But Andrew Wiggins kind of fluctuated in and out. Guys like Jordan Poole are stepping up for them. This dude is different. He has carried them to this way. It's the most impactful year. Jokic may win it for the voters if they already got the votes in, but he will get my vote.
Here's what I would say. I will not for 1 second complain when Jokic wins the award, because he's going to win the award. But I am with you, because the MVP is on some level a narrative award. And I think there was something about the season he has had, in a season in which the league so desperately needed it with everything else that was going on. Basically, the storyline, the narrative of the second half of this NBA season were all the guys who didn't play and Steph. That, to me, is the story. And for that alone, Steph's value, to me, increases.
He missed 10 games. He was injured. No Klay Thompson, James Wiseman, their top draft pick, out. I mean, you tell me what else you need Stephen Curry to do to prove. And look, and I was one of these guys at the beginning of the year. I was like, man, I don't know if this team can make the playoffs. The fact that he's dragged them to the playoffs, like, I give him all the credit in the world. He's been the best ticket in basketball to watch the entire year. This one man alone,
correct,
is a heat seeker. I mean, that's how special of a talent he is.
I'm with you. And so, Steph Curry and LeBron James, they go head-to-head this week, and hopefully they both survive and advance into the actual playoffs, which will begin next week. Jay Will, KJZ, every weekday morning on ESPN Radio. In the meantime, to the football we go. Last week, the Green Bay Packers had two quarterbacks on their roster. Now they have four. Less than a week after signing Blake Bortles, they've added Kirk Benkert. Head coach Matt LaFleur talking about the latest, meanwhile, surrounding the quarterback everyone is most interested in. That's Aaron Rodgers.
I've got nothing new to update, and we still obviously feel the same way. It's, you know, we want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that, and, you know, we'll continue to work at it each and every day.
Well, each and every day, it seems worth taking the temperature of this situation, and we have just the right people bringing the thermometers today. Again, Diana Marcus and Dominique, ready to go. Diana, what are we hearing? What is the latest with regard to Rodgers and the Packers?
Let's break down Matt LaFleur's soundbite just there. They want him back in the worst way. You can feel the desperation because that's where the Packers stand at this point. They are continuing to try to fix this broken relationship as Aaron Rodgers continues to say that he is not returning to the Packers. This is not the plan. So we know this, and I'm going to just keep saying this over and over on the show with you. If they were to trade him, which we know the Packers do not want to do this, it would be after June 1 in order for them to save some money against their salary cap. But that being said, at this point, the only thing we can report is that they are hoping somehow that this relationship can get fixed, Mike.
And maybe the one thing they have going best in their favor on that quickly, Dominic, you made that point, is that if they do decide to play this game of chicken all the way to the end and just say, we're not budging, we're not trading no matter what, the one piece of this that might be the most difficult for Rodgers himself, Nick, I thought you had an interesting thought on that.
I think it's a tough way to end your career. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to miss the money. I'm not sure that he'll miss the Super Bowl that they might win. That stuff is important, but I don't think that'd be as painful as when he gives his Hall of Fame speech to have to talk about the end of his career, the last play being them kicking that field goal and then him being disgruntled about them drafting Jordan Love and never playing again. So if I'm Brian Gutekunst, I'm certainly not trading Aaron Rodgers because he's going to go somewhere else and dominate. And there's no way you can look good because Jordan Love is not going to have this team playing as well as Aaron Rodgers will have any team out there that he goes to playing. And if I was Gutekunst, I'd call Aaron Rodgers and just lay it out that way. The big picture is like, is this how you want your career to end?
All right. So that's a pretty good sales pitch. But Marcus, you had, I think, the most interesting thought of the morning as I was going through everybody's notes, which is, as you see the Packers adding these extra quarterbacks, what does it make you think about?
It makes me think that the questions are still out on Jordan Love. Listen, we all know that the Green Bay Packers' plan is to do every possible thing they can to get Aaron Rodgers back. But when you think about trading up to draft Jordan Love, where some of this saga is involved with moving up to draft him and Aaron being disgruntled, then you bring – look, by no means am I saying Blake Bortles or Bankard is the answer in Green Bay. But they could be a stopgap if you drafted a guy that disgruntled your Hall of Famer and he doesn't show that he's ready to take control or play within this offense. At least Blake Bortles has snaps in the NFL. So, look, this is, to Diana's point and listening to what Neek said as well, this is a dire situation for the Green Bay Packers. And, gee, y'all all know how I feel. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to play for the Green Bay Packers anymore. But it could be more about Jordan Love and what they've seen from him as far as bringing these guys in, as opposed to the thought process of losing Aaron Rodgers, because I think that's a far-gone conclusion.
I agree with you, Marcus, but for different reasons. Like, Bortles and Bankert doesn't make me think that they don't have any faith in Love. You know what makes me think that Love is not ready? That Aaron Rodgers didn't show up. If Jordan Love was scary, if Jordan Love was balling, you know who would be in camp right now? Aaron Rodgers. He knows that they don't have an answer. That gives him the leverage that he thinks he has right now. And I don't think that Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers are concerned about Bortles and Bankert.
No, which is a funny sounding pair of names, but I understand what you're saying. But very quickly, Diana, back to you. Like, what is our sense of Jordan Love's readiness?
The sense I get about Jordan Love at this point is he's got a long way to go. Now, remember, he hasn't gotten a lot of opportunity, no 2020 preseason. He wasn't out on the field a lot. But that being said, people in the building, his teammates, everyone has seen, it's still a long way to go. He will get more reps here in camp coming up, so that should help him. But we're talking about someone who may have a long way to go in a very short period of time if he's going to be thrust into this position.
Wow. Look, in a league where rookie quarterbacks come in and are forced to start immediately, that is, I think, cause for concern. We'll leave it there for the moment, but there's a lot more to be said about it. We are getting started. Coming up, we're talking more about quarterbacks. Swagoo coming to you on this. Justin Fields impressing his coach, who makes a big decision about the future of the franchise already. Did he get it right? We're talking about it. Plus, good news on Dak Prescott. And that wasn't the only gift Cowboys fans got this week. We'll explain next. We're just getting started. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot.
taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. All right, you got to see this. Cavs Nets yesterday. All right, Marcus Spears, you're my hooper extraordinaire in this group. Just take a look at this sequence here from the Nets and describe what we see. Up, behind the back. Up, throw it up. Up, off the glass. Oh, throw it down. Come on, Swagger.
See, that's just called great basketball. And that's why that's why everybody's saying you can't beat this team in 7 games. But all I can think of is whatever happened to all of that talk about would Kevin Durant be the same after his Achilles injury? Looked pretty damn good to me.
When is that going to be on NBA Top Shot? It's a work of art. I want that NFT immediately. That is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
It literally looks like a sequence that had been choreographed ahead of time.
Basketball again.
Yeah. Unreal. Nets throwing it down. We'll see. They're the 2 seed going into the Eastern Conference playoffs. Let's see where they wind up. All right. Back to some NFL conversation here. Let's go either or. Diana Russini. Who will make the playoffs first?
Hi.
Trevor Wilson or Zach Wilson? Who you got?
I like to start my Monday making you happy, so I'm going with Zach Wilson. And here's why I really believe it, though. I think the Jets are going to commit to the run game. Trevor Lawrence, of course, is going to be a passing game, which, of course, opens you up to more problems, more interceptions, things that we've seen in the past with rookies as they make that adjustment. When I think of Zach Wilson, I think of Jimmy Garoppolo with wheels. So I'm excited to see what they can do, and I think that they're going to make the playoffs. The New York Jets are going to make the playoffs before the Jacksonville Jags.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Dominique, who will rush for more yards as a rookie, Najee Harris or Travis Etienne?
I'm going to go with Harris. I'm not sure how confident I feel about this, but I think that the Steelers have a great defense, and they're going to recommit to the running game and try to play that AFC North style of football that most of the teams in that division are playing. So I see Najee Harris being a big part of that, and Etienne down in Jacksonville, they got a rebuild to go through.
Yes, plus Etienne is going to be a wide receiver from what I read.
No,
we'll talk about
don't.
That later. Meanwhile, Swagoo, who's going to start at quarterback first, Trey Lance or Justin Fields?
It's going to be Justin Fields, G. And listen, I know what Matt Nagy is saying, but you look at this quarterback, you look at his skill set, and as long as he can come up to speed as far as verbiage and getting the right reads and situations in game time and game play, which he'll have a full offseason to do, I believe Justin Fields will be the starter week 1. I think he'll have a lot of success.
Well, you reference what Matt Nagy said. Let's make sure everybody heard it. Over the weekend, the Bears coach talking about this quarterback situation, reiterating his confidence in the veteran, Andy Dalton. Listen.
Andy is the starter. Andy's going to get the 1 reps. When you go up to draft a quarterback like Justin, everyone's very excited, and they want to know when. And trust me, we all understand that. But we need to make sure that whatever that plan is that we put together, that it's the best thing for the Chicago Bears.
So Andy Dalton remains QB1, as they famously tweeted some weeks ago. Diana Russini, you are sort of giving us a knowing smile. What do we know?
I was just thinking, Matt Nagy sounds like my mom when I was in college, and she said when I graduated, I had to move out of the house. I knew the whole time that wasn't going to happen. I moved out at 38 years old. That's how long I stayed. It's like the same thing. Like, so here's what I think. I think he is all in to the idea of Justin Fields playing. I do think we're going to see Justin Fields this season, but for now, the blueprint is going to be the famous blueprint that just works, and it's just such a great example, right? What the Kansas City Chiefs did. Andy Dalton is going to play the role of what we saw Alex Smith do as that veteran quarterback, the starter taking first team reps, while good old, you know, the okay average Patrick Mahomes sat behind him and then, of course, became the breakout player that he is. So they're trying to use that same blueprint, apply to Chicago, get the young rookie caught up, have him learn the offense, take that pressure off while he learns, and Andy Dalton can run the offense until they start losing.
So, Swagoo, as you hear the coach saying, Andy Dalton is our quarterback, what do you think?
I think in his heart of hearts, he knows he's lying, G. At some point, Justin Fields will take over the starting position in the offseason and be the starter. And listen, this is not based on emotion for me. I think Justin Fields, as far as what he'll be able to show now that we do will have an offseason and a preseason, will make it clear that he should be the starter going into week one. Remember, last year, man, I was so enamored with Justin Herbert because he didn't have that opportunity. We didn't know what type of quarterback he was going to be based on all of the things that were talked about him coming out of Oregon, and he went and had a tremendous amount of success. And why did he have that success? Because of athleticism, because he can slow the game down by getting his own self out of trouble. And I believe Justin offers that as well. I'm not trying to take shots at Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton has been a solid starter in the NFL. But you know what the damn Chicago Bears ain't looking for? A solid starter. So they're going to try to bring this young guy along. I understand why Matt Nagy is saying what he's saying, but I expect Justin Fields at some point to take over these first team reps in the offseason and become the starter week one for the Chicago Bears.
Dominique, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Marcus is right. I think the Kansas City model worked because they were good the year prior. Their coach had job yes. security, and they were good all season the year that Alex Smith last year. This situation isn't like that. They weren't. They made their playoffs last year, but nobody thinks that they were good, and no one thinks they're going to rip off a bunch of wins early in the season with Andy Dalton. The sooner that they can get Justin Fields taking reps with the ones, the more likely he is to succeed, and they have reason to believe he might have success, because in Nagy's first year, Trubisky's second year, Trubisky made the Pro Bowl and was third in the NFL by QBR, using a lot of the athleticism that Trubisky had. Justin Fields does everything Trubisky does, but better. So I think that Matt Nagy has to be excited about the potential of doing that. And like Marcus said, no disrespect to Andy Dalton, but Andy Dalton ain't going to do all that. The floor is pretty pretty high for Justin Fields because of his playing experience. The floor is pretty low for Andy Dalton behind a bad offensive line. Sorry, Dan.
Dom, you're right. He's got to learn this offense, too. That's something Nagy pointed out. Andy, this is a new offense for Andy. Right? So everyone's learning right now, but he just might get the edge just because he has the experience.
So the Bears quarterback situation is intriguing.
Yeah, today.
Diana living at home until she was 38 might actually be the most interesting thing that we came up with in that conversation. We will dive more deeply into that as our program continues. In the meantime, coming up, the gift the Cowboys received that should concern everyone in their division. It has nothing to do with Dak Prescott. Plus, Tom Brady said something that makes you think the Buccaneers offense might just be unstoppable. You'll hear that something as we roll on. Plus, a little sneaky Hembo time today. This one is for Dominique. Including the playoffs, which active quarterback has beaten Tom Brady the most times? Well, that is intriguing. And the answer is next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, Dominique, this is an intriguing one. Including the playoffs, which active quarterback has beaten Tom Brady the most times?
All right, I'm feeling pretty good about this, but I'm not going to gloat. I'm thinking in division, not his current division, but his old division, I'm thinking Ryan Tannehill, the team that he lost to last game in New England. Is it Ryan Tannehill? They always go down to Miami and lose, right?
The answer is Ryan Tannehill. Why are you not going to gloat? You got it right.
Because I didn't want to be embarrassed, but I got it. Oh, he's going to get some trash-talking text today, Himbo.
That is correct. Tannehill, he beat him 5 times. Roethlisberger, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Joe Flacco have each beaten Tom Brady 3 times. Dominique gets it right. Meanwhile, let's talk about where Tom Brady's first loss is going to come this season a little bit later. We'll start with Kansas City. Dominique, the Chiefs are good. What's the first game they're going to lose?
I'm thinking October 17th. It might be a trap game situation coming off of a tough game. They're going to have to go into play Washington, and Washington's front four is going to be a problem. I know the Chiefs' revamped offensive line should be better, but that front four we know is the only way to get pressure on Mahomes and make him less Mahomesian.
Swagoo, the 49ers should be back and better than ever. Where's their first loss going to come?
Gee, I'm going week five to the Arizona Cardinals. Remember, Chandler Jones out all last year. They go and sign J.J. Watt. I think this team is ascending. Hopefully, Kyler Murray learned from some experience to go down the stretch. I know people are not all confident in Cliff Kingsbury, but I think what they've done from a personnel standpoint, if they can get the nuance right, this team can be very good and actually win or go for second place in this division.
Yeah, a lot of people really high on Arizona. All right, Diana, back to the Bucs. Where will they lose their first game?
Boys, if the Bucs can get past the New England Patriots in week four, and that's an if, because you know that's going to be a highly emotional game for Brady, and I'm banking that he can work through that. I think it's going to be the New Orleans Saints in week eight on October 31st that are going to end this hot win streak that the Bucs are going to start off with. Because look, here's how I see it. Sean Payton is vindictive. He has a lot of revenge in him, and I think he also wants to show the rest of the world that he doesn't need Drew Brees to win. Sort of similar to the way we saw Tom Brady go, I didn't need Bill Belichick to win with the Bucs. So I think a similar storyline is going to paint a great picture for the Saints to take the Bucs down.
All right, I would like to dive into that New Orleans piece of this a little bit later, but for the moment, we're going to take the Bucs part of it. Tom Brady talking about his learning curve during that first year in Tampa. He had this very interesting thing to say.
Midway through the year, I was still trying to figure out how to call plays. I would just read them off my wristband and try to visualize what was going to happen. But it's like learning a completely new language. You've spoken English for 20 years. Now all of a sudden someone's like, hey, man, let's go. Let's speak some Spanish. And you're like, huh? Like that makes no sense to my brain.
So that fascinated me when I read that. I wanted to bring that back because, you know, Marcus, let's just, we're talking about a team. Yeah, they started 7-5. They just won the Super Bowl with a quarterback who was saying midway through the season, I wasn't even sure in which language I should be calling the plays. What is it that should stop me from saying the Buccaneers offense should be markedly better this year with everybody back and Brady aware of in which language he should be calling the plays? What should stop me from saying the Buccaneers offense is going to be unstoppable this year? Marcus.
Not a damn thing, G. Listen, I'm right there with you, man. First of all, the continuity, being around these players, and that's the thing that was so impressive about last year once he started to understand Spanish. I still don't know nothing but hola. That's the only Spanish I know. But if you think about what Tom Brady and this offense looked like, he really kept it to the words that he knew as the stretch went along. Example, check downs. Let's get Leonard Fournette involved. Let's run the football. He was used to that in New England as well. Let me get Gronk heavily involved in this playoff run. He did that as well. So, and Antonio Brown, who had built that rapport with in New England in one game, we saw if that could materialize and become what it was. Now going into this season with a full offseason, a better understanding of the players, understanding Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich and how they want to run and maneuver this offense, yeah, they should be marketably better. And gee, this too. Spanish is a lot easier when you take a year's worth of the class as opposed to going 2 or 3 days a week like I did at LSU.
There you have it. If you grow up in it, you're fluent in it, that's one thing. But Dominique, what? What is that?
Marcus ain't go to no class at LSU. He ain't go to not one class his whole time at LSU.
I did.
I know Greedy speaks Spanish fluently. Nah, you went to football. And then you went to training table, and then you went back to football.
Oh,
don't
no.
lie.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Oh,
go.
No.
Greedy, I know your Spanish is tight, but I don't think that Tom Brady is going to be that much better because I think this was just something to say. Like, he knows how to play football. If we expect rookies to walk into training camp and learn a bunch of new terminology, I think that the greatest quarterback of all time didn't struggle that much figuring out the proper verbiage for getting in and out of plays and audibling and changing things. They're going to be just fine. I think they were fifth in the NFL offensively by EPA, and I think they'll probably be just about that. They're not going to suddenly turn into the Chiefs or as efficient as the Ravens now because Tom Brady can speak Spanish.
Diana?
Mike, you're telling me the greatest quarterback to be alive on this planet couldn't understand a Bruce Arians offense? Are you kidding me? This is such an excuse for them coming out slow. And look, I do think there was a transition going from New England 20 years in the same offense, in that same Patriot way, going to this loose, different type of vibe in Tampa Bay. But stop. This is such an excuse. This is Tom Brady. We are not talking about Zach Wilson learning how to play the NFL. We're not talking about Trevor Lawrence. We're not. Stop. Tom Brady is a smart player. He taught himself. He was out there practicing in high school fields learning the offense. Remember that? He was teaching himself. I think this was just
a way for him to polish.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Go ahead, Diana, finish, but go ahead. I want to interject after you get done speaking about Tom Brady.
I just think someone at his level, with his ability and his experience, I don't think learning a new language of offense or a new offense is that challenging for him.
It's not, but I'm listening to you and Foxy talk about Tom Brady is just getting this going for the offseason. Did we not watch this Tampa Bay offense look like crap during the first half of the season? Something was wrong. It was either he couldn't understand Spanish or they couldn't execute the way they needed to. The dude didn't even realize it was fourth down in the game. You would tell me a 20-year veteran would make that mistake?
I guess maybe.
Looked 100% better as the stretch went along in this season than they did offensively.
I guess I got to turn into Dan Orlovsky
because y'all on here with that foolishness.
His mind was trying to figure out the terminology so he couldn't look at the sideline and see the big four over there. Maybe. Like, he's not perfect. He makes mistakes. But I think that him understanding the offense wasn't a reason why he was struggling necessarily. Maybe it's because he's 100 years old and he's still playing quarterback and not everything's going to be perfect. Like, that feels like more realistic to me. And I don't know. I took a bunch of Spanish like you, Marcus, and I don't remember much of it, but I remember Tango, Los Gatos, and Mis Pantalones. You remember that one? Blue Streak.
What is that?
Blue Streak?
What is that?
Oh, I forgot. I can't make movie references without my man RC here.
I missed it. Yeah,
what that
actually
translates to is I have cats
I
in my
I
pants,
involved in that.
Which is just inexplicable to me. But let me just say this. What is a reasonable way to say it is that it took them however long it took them to figure out what their offense should be for Tom Brady and Bruce Arians to figure out what offense would work for them. So if Brady were to walk in and say, dame la pelota, por favor, and Bruce Arians would say, oh, that's Spanish.
Oh,
I understand what you mean. And now all of a sudden, and Gronk would walk in and say, just throw me the damn pelota and everything will be just fine. We don't have a problem here.
And that's it. We can
sort of slice these things up a lot of different ways. All right, Diana, let's get back to serious business here.
You make me sick, Greenberg.
Diana,
you make me sick. Nobody asked you if you
knew Spanish. Where are we here? Diana, with the hurry up. Let's go. NFL veterans can report to camp starting today. What are we keeping an eye on?
Yeah, so we know rookie camp was over the weekend. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But today's skills and drills is really the second phase of the offseason plan. And really, Mike, the reason why we're even interested in this in mid-May is because we know the NFLPA suggested a lot of players just stay away and they don't show up. OTAs officially begin on May 24th, but it's going to be really interesting to see how many vets actually show up today. I spoke to a few teams yesterday. They're expecting 35 players. They normally get 70 to 75 guys showing up this time of year. So it's certainly going to be some challenges for some teams here. Meantime, the man that has won, or at least had a winning season, the last 9-plus years, Russell Wilson, the only quarterback in history to have that much success. Contract negotiations are being discussed. Pete Carroll was asked, you guys are trying to save some money, trying to make some room in your salary cap. Have you discussed this with Russell, maybe restructuring? And apparently, coach says they haven't discussed it. They're open to discussing it, but remember, they don't need Russell Wilson's approval if they want to restructure. But you got to figure,
They're not going to want to upset him any more than they have, considering the offensive line didn't get much improved. Meantime, Dak Prescott, what great news for Dak, guys. Nothing but optimism and good things coming out of Dallas right now. Mike McCarthy saying basically that he expects him to be a full go for training camp. Dak Prescott recently telling a member of the media in Dallas if he had to play in the game right now, he could. So really good news considering he's coming off that brutal, brutal right ankle injury.
No question. And there was other really good news for the Cowboys, which we'll get to in just a moment here on Get Up. So you don't want to miss that. You also don't want to miss our next WNBA games. They're on ESPN2 and on the ESPN app. Tomorrow night, the Mercury in Washington to take on the Mystics. That's at 8 Eastern. Then Asia Wilson and the Aces square off against Brianna Stewart and the Storm. That's tomorrow night on ESPN2. Also on the way here, Urban Meyer has made a lot of interesting decisions in a short time in Jacksonville. The latest one has Marcus shaking his head, and he will tell you why next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is that time I spend all weekend looking forward to when I get to ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to Dominique Foxworth, and whether he's ready to or not, he has no choice but to answer them neat. What game on the NFL calendar do you have circled that you cannot wait to see?
Oh, it's week 10, and maybe I'm a company man, but it's Monday Night Football on this network. We got the 49ers against the Rams. By then, I feel like Trey Lance will be starting and deeply entrenched in this offense. That defense is loaded, and they're going to be going up against the Rams, who also have a very loaded defense, and by then, Matt Stafford should be comfortable in that offense. This might be the two best teams in the NFC going at it late in the season. That's the game I can't wait for.
Okay. If by the two best teams in the NFC you mean the second and third best teams after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think you're 100% right. Next, who is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year? Neek.
We're going to stay with those teams. I'm going to go with Trey Lance. Before the draft, I said whoever Kyle Shanahan drafts is going to be going into a perfect situation with a great offensive line, talented playmakers around him, a good defense, and possibly the best offensive mind of this generation. So I'm going to stick by that. I don't think Trey Lance sits on the bench for very long. If he's the player that they expect him to be, he'll be starting very early in the season, putting up big numbers on a very successful team. I think Trey Lance is the favorite, in my view, for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Okay, so long as by Trey Lance you mean Zach Wilson, then I completely agree with you. All right, one more.
You don't believe it. That's just hopeful.
Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, which week will Mac Jones make his first start for the Patriots? Neek.
Oh, yeah, I think Cam Newton will start off the season, but I think Mac Jones comes in around week 5, I think it is, against the Texans. The season starts out pretty rough for the Patriots as far as tough defenses with the Saints and the Dolphins. The Jets aren't as much, but obviously the Buccaneers. I think Cam Newton's experience will help them live through those first 4 games, but I think Mac Jones, if their record isn't strong, can possibly start against the Texans, who don't have much on defense or offense. That could be the softest landing spot for Mac Jones to start his NFL career. So maybe that's when they put him in.
and looking at those numbers, I can't even disagree. Like, I can't even come up with a joke that is rooted in any way in reality that would have been funny about suggesting that of those defenses, the Jets are the ones they most need to be worried about, considering their little 2-14 there stood out a lot. Okay, let's leave that there for the moment. Let's talk about another team. Let's talk about the team that was 1-15. Urban Meyer took them over as the head coach in Jacksonville, and the first few months have been very unusual. That's Chris Doyle, who was hired as the director of sports performance despite all the talk about the misconduct when he was at Iowa. That didn't last. He resigned a day after his hiring. Then last week, out come the reports that Jacksonville is going to bring in Tim Tebow to play tight end. That set everybody going crazy. Now over this weekend, it comes out that the 25th overall pick, Travis Etienne, is taking reps as a wide receiver during rookie minicamp, despite making his name, of course, as a running back while at Clemson. I think you could say he was the most productive running back in the history of the ACC. It seems to have given Marcus a headache. Swagoo, are you all right?
No, I'm not. No, G. I don't know if you was coming to me first. So if you're going to Diana or Foxy,
no, I'm
first,
coming
go
to you first.
Because I need to process this bull.
You make
crap.
That face.
Okay,
we're
listen,
coming,
man.
To you.
All right. Damn, Urban. Like, what are you? First of all, I'm trying to like get all my thoughts together. One, okay, if Travis Etienne is going to be a wide receiver in the Jacksonville Jaguars offense, Rashad Bateman went two picks later to the Baltimore Ravens. That's number one. Number two is, what the hell are you drafting for? The dude was an elite back at Clemson. He was a national champion. He did his work out of the backfield. If it was James Robinson, the running back that you have now, who had a very good year last year, if he's gonna be the guy, let him be the guy and go draft a wide receiver. This is crazy. Now, I don't wanna go off the scale and overreact crazy, right? I expect Etienne to be in the backfield. I expect him to use him as a wide receiver at times. But if this dude is going to line up solely in the slot, Urban Meyer going to be on TV with us again over there at Fox talking about college football on Saturday morning in 2022. I guarantee it.
That's a very interesting argument. We have staked our claim on that. Diana, what is your sense of what he's doing there in Jacksonville?
Yes, Ragu, doesn't this just reek of an Urban Meyer selection, though, in the draft in terms of a player he wants? And that's the truth of it. This wasn't like the ghost of Doug Marone making this pick. This was all Urban Meyer. This isn't Trent Baalke. Yeah. This isn't Dave Caldwell. This is this guy making it, right? Because here's what he likes. Look at all of his offenses, right? He loves that H receiver. He loves the hybrid. He loves being able to take running backs and putting in that receiver role. He loves the speed. Anything to really give Trevor Lawrence more options and to try to make this offense as creative as possible. Greeny, I do think the headline is way saucier than probably what the reality of this will be, right? Because you're thinking, why are you taking such a good running back and changing his position on day one of rookie camp when this kid doesn't even know where the bathroom is at the facility? But I think this is smart of Urban Meyer to just give himself more weapons and take advantage of the skill set. And you know the player's going to want to do this, right? Anything to be part of this offense and make them better. So I'm not totally against it. I just think it's a little shocking initially until you start realizing this is what Urban does.
To be clear, going back over his offenses, the players I can think of that you're talking about, a guy like Percy Harvin at Florida, a guy like Curtis Samuel at Ohio State. But what those guys weren't, to Swagoo's point, is the most productive running back in the history of the ACC.
Travis Etienne ain't them two dudes you just named?
Yeah, go ahead, Marcus.
He ain't them dudes you just named, G. Like, listen, Percy Harvin was arguably going to be one of the best offensive weapons to ever play in the NFL. And he played some wide receiver in college. Travis Etienne didn't line up at wide receiver at all. Y'all go ahead, Foxy. I'm sorry.
That doesn't mean that he can't. So, like, this to me, I lean more to Diana. Like, this doesn't make me as concerned for Urban Meyer as anything else. Like, I don't understand why you draft a running back in that spot, especially when you have a running back on your roster who played well, who was not highly drafted. So that just should kind of reinforce the idea that you don't need to draft running backs that high. The most questionable thing that Urban Meyer has done so far, I would think, is bring in Tim Tebow. Only reason why this Etienne thing, like, bothers anybody, I think, is because it comes on the heels of the Tebow thing. Like, that makes no sense to me. That's the one that has the players in the locker room asking questions and the coaches on that staff looking around like, what are we doing? Like, that to me undermines this team much more than having Etienne run some routes right now. Travis Etienne's been playing running back his whole life. He knows how to play running back.
Go ahead, Diana.
And you know what he's doing with Tim Tebow. You know what he's doing with Tim Tebow, right? He's going to try to make him Taysom Hill. Yes, tight end. He's not making him a tight end. He's going to bring him in. He's going to play quarterback. He's trying to run some of that wildcat. You know that's what he's going to do. It's what Urban Meyer does. It would surprise me if we see Tim Tebow line up at tight end. And talking to people there, by the way, there was a sentiment initially that there's
it's
no
gonna
way he's going to make
me
it
if he line
Tebow
up,
will get
Diana.
Cut. That's what I was going to say. There's a thought that he's going to be on this roster come week one.
This is where the delay sometimes really winds up biting us directly in the behind, one way or another. The idea that all of a sudden Travis Etienne is a wide receiver and Tim Tebow is a tight end is only possible in the mind of Urban Meyer, at least as of this moment. Meanwhile, let me run the bases last night. How about this finish? With two outs in the top of the ninth, Shohei Ohtani hit a two-run home run to give the Angels a 6-5 lead and ultimately a win over the Red Sox. It's Ohtani's 12th home run of the season that ties him for the Major League lead. He's the most special player in the sport right now. Elsewhere, the Indian Shane Bieber saw his record streak of 20 consecutive starts with 8 or more strikeouts come to an end yesterday. He struck out 7, allowed 3 runs in a 3-2 loss to the Mariners. Meanwhile, in L.A., the Dodgers are going to be without their star Corey Seager for a few weeks at least after he was hit by a pitch and broke a bone in his hand over the weekend. He does not need surgery, but manager Dave Roberts said the floor, the minimum for Seager's return, is likely 4 weeks. Meanwhile, our Monday night baseball matchup tonight, first of three between the Mets and Braves at Truist Park. Our coverage begins 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, here we go again. How concerned should Laker fans be after LeBron tweaks the ankle? We're talking about that next. Plus, who's the starting quarterback in Chicago? Matt Nagy makes the decision. Does it make sense? That's the question. We've got all the answers as we get up with you on ESPN.